The following program is not a production of Audio Journal. External programs like this are selected with the interests of our audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal. Audio Journal is a radio reading service intended for a print-impaired audience. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
Hey, everybody. This is Anna, and along with Nick and Chris, we would like to welcome you to Audio Journal Sports Page. This is a program by, for, and about sports, activities, adventure, and information involving people with a variety of disabilities. Okay, here's my first article that I found, and it is titled, U.S. Blind Football Team Prepare for Historic Paralympic Debut at LA 28. As football fever sweeps the world during the FIFA World Cup 2026, the USA's blind football team are building towards their own historic moment at the LA 28 Paralympics on home soil. How do you go from Paralympic debutants to the podium at the same games? That's a challenge facing the USA blind football team at LA 28. The team are preparing to make their first Paralympic debut at the LA 28 Paralympic Games as host. Launched in November 2022, the national team recently played against the national teams of Peru and Kazakhstan during an international tournament held in Seattle in the lead-up to the FIFA World Cup 2026. Jorge Polanco, who coaches the team, has gone from helping hand to head honcho in the space of 4 years, having only coached sighted soccer players before 2022. The transition is challenging, admits Polanco, a Texan who now lives in Louisiana. In blind soccer, you are preached to do what you don't do in sighted soccer, joysticking players. In sighted soccer, you guide a player, then let them figure things out, let them make mistakes. In blind soccer, if you do that, there's a possibility of serious injuries. It's about being as detailed as you can get in your descriptions. That was a massive adjustment. At the beginning, you get lost in watching these amazing athletes play and their ability, and you forget, oh, I need to guide. A new chapter in the beautiful game. Polanco got into blind football almost by chance. Where I live, I am the president of our local soccer club, and our director of coaching, Ryan Lazaro, got on the U.S. blind football team as an assistant. I live 10 minutes down the road, and Ryan told me there might be an opportunity. I originally came on the program as a logistics guy, washing kits, ice baths, that kind of thing. Then a couple of coaches left. Ryan became head coach, and I became one of his assistants. When Lazaro left the job, Polanco felt he was the right man in the right place, and his application was successful. And what he lacks in blind football coaching experience, he more than makes up for it in other areas. In particular, after spending 23 years in the U.S. Marine Corps, he wasn't at all daunted by bringing together a team of athletes from diverse backgrounds from across the United States. Polanco says blind football athletes compete on the field for each other. That's the kind of camaraderie we're trying to build. In the service, you move every 3 or 4 years, give or take, so you're always in a new world with different people. but you have to work together to make the mission successful. Polanco himself is of Peruvian origin, and his ability to speak Spanish has enabled him to pick the brains of some blind football's top coaches in their native language. His squad includes French-born captain Charles E. Catherine, who is also a classical pianist, Ahmed J. Sharif, who was brought to the U.S. from Iraq for medical treatment after he lost his sight and part of his right arm in a bombing when he was just 7, and star striker Alvaro Mora Arellano, who was born in Mexico. I think that diversity helps us, Mora Arellano, 38, said, because the team is a real representation of what the country is. There is acceptance of that diversity, so we are very united. We all have different traditions, but we have a common goal to represent the country and compete. Arellano lost his sight to cancer at age 3, but grew up playing football on his grandmother's patio with the help and encouragement of his cousins. When I attended a residential school for the blind in Mexico City, they would wrap a plastic bag around the ball so we can hear it, he said. It was then, surrounded by people who had the same condition, that I realized I can play competitive sport. We would make little teams and play matches. After moving to the U.S., Mora Arellano played goalball, another team sport played by athletes with vision impairments. Only because my friends used to play goalball and like football, I could scream when I scored a goal. He attended his first U.S. Association of Blind Athletes, also known as the USABA, soccer clinic in 2019, 2 years after Los Angeles was awarded the 2028 Olympic and Paralympic Games, making history at LA28. Mora Arellano made history by scoring the U.S. national team's first international goal against Canada in March of 2023 in a 1-0 victory, and 2 more in a 3-0 victory against the same opposition days later. He has been a key player in the team ever since. It's very special for me because this opportunity came late, he said. I thought I was too old, but you never know. This is an opportunity now for me to shine, participate in the sport I love. Also, I feel honored to represent the U.S., but also to be one of the players who is promoting the sport around the country, making blind people aware that there is another sport they can learn about and play if they want to. I take my position as a role model very seriously. Make no mistake, though, the U.S. team doesn't intend to just make up the numbers on home soil. They have regular training camps at the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, are playing more and more tournaments, and have even visited Alamitos Beach venue for blind football at LA28. We stood on the stand and we told them, the players, this is where we are going to be playing, head coach Polanco said. I looked out into the ocean and thought, in 2 years, I'm going to be here and the crowd is going to be chanting USA. It was an awesome feeling. There were tears. Winning is everything in the U.S. with no exceptions, so I want them to get a small taste of what it would be like. I would be lying if I told you we're going to go out and win gold. Our plan is to go out and show everybody that we can compete with the best, and we're going to be a powerhouse by 2032, when we will have to qualify to compete. For now, though, there is another big football tournament taking place, the FIFA World Cup 2026. Mora Arellano cheered for both the USA and Mexico, but the two teams exited in round 6 of 16. Exited in the round of 16. Polanco says England are his dark horses. Come LA 28, USA might carry a similar tag. So kind of a fun article. All right, my next article is titled, Could Blind Soccer Have Its Moment? That's the goal for New York City's only pro player. A coach stood on a small artificial turf field in Central Park and threw a ball past Charles Catherine. With each bounce, the ball rattled. The coach yelled to Catherine, R2! For passerby, it might have sounded like a game of battleship or chess, but Coach Isaac Foster was practicing with his Catherine, the captain of the USA Blind Soccer Men's National Team. As the New York area embraces soccer players from around the globe for the World Cup, Catherine and teammates are looking ahead to the 2028 Paralympic Games in Los Angeles. For the first time in the U.S., we'll send a blind soccer team to the games. Catherine ran toward R2. Each team has its own system, and we divide the field into different squares, and we have a reference point, Catherine told Gothamist in between practice plays. So they'll say, pass to C4, and I know exactly where that is, right? Blind soccer athletes, including those who are partially sighted, play with masks to keep things fair. A goalie who may be partially sighted is the only member of each team of five allowed to keep the mask off. A guide behind the goal directs players to sections of the field as a ball with bells or other noisemakers gives them further sensory feedback on where to go. L2 sends a player to the second square on the left side, or R1 to the first on the right side. C4 is up the center. Catherine, originally from France, has been a New Yorker for 14 years and lives on the Upper West Side. In his day job, he's vice president of corporate and government relations at the National Organization on Disability. Lately, he's been training every day in Riverside Park or in the new FIFA arena. Temporarily field built in Central Park for the World Cup, he was already an athlete long before he found blind soccer in 2019. He was a triathlete and had run 3 marathons. When I started, I didn't know how to dribble, said Catherine. I didn't know how to move on the field, you know, because the one thing for a blind runner is that you're usually tethered to a guide. But when you play soccer, you're running free on the field. But Catherine usually has to practice without other players, since he's the only team member in New York City in a sport that's had a slower uptake in the U.S. than many other countries. Blind soccer started in Brazil in the 1960s and made its debut as a Paralympic sport in Athens in 2004. According to the U.S. Association of Blind Athletes, the U.S. Association started its own program in 2018 and in 2019 became a member organization of U.S. Soccer. The New York Association of Blind Athletes tried to start a blind soccer program in 2018, but blind soccer needs 10 players and 2 volunteer guides for 2 teams to play, which can make it difficult to organize. Not enough players showed up to every practice to keep it running, according to Alvin Suarez, the group's president. And Catherine said in New York City, the scarcity of soccer fields makes the developing momentum for blind soccer even more complicated. Suarez said that his group found goal ball, where players roll balls down a court and their opponents try and block them, to be the most popular sport among local blind athletes, with 25 players in New York City. The enthusiasm for that sport is mirrored in the success of the American Paralympic Gold Ball team. Since 1976, U.S. teams have earned 12 Paralympic Games medals, 7 for the women's teams, 5 for the men's, and 11 World Championship medals, 8 for the women, 3 for the men. But with the excitement around the World Cup, Catherine hopes blind soccer could have its moment at home. According to the Census Bureau's American Community Survey, there are about 25,000 youths who are blind or have serious difficulty seeing in New York City. About 1.5% of the youth population. There are also 258,000 adults who are blind or have serious difficulty seeing, or about 3.8% of that population. Some city-based initiatives look to serve young athletes with disabilities. The nonprofit Kids Enjoy Exercise now provides multiple free sports, swimming, basketball, yoga, and soccer to children with disabilities, and will run a soccer program in New York this summer. Jazzy Smith, the executive director of Keene New York, said soccer is one of the most popular sports among children. Children usually have to undergo long wait lists. The summer soccer program offers 25 spots for 50 to 80 applicants. But to be able to expand to offer blind soccer specifically, Keene, New York would need more access to pitches, as well as more volunteers and more funding, Smith said. Jorge Polanco, head coach of the Blind Soccer USA team, said that for blind soccer to grow more, he'd like to see a league developed in the U.S., much like in Brazil, where there are 3 leagues and more than 20 teams. He also said kids with visual impairments need to know the sport is available. He's worked with coaches and teachers to provide classes to blind and visually impaired youths. That is the biggest way we will grow this sport, because then they know at a young age what they have capabilities of being able to do, Polanco said. Catherine said that when he grew up, his parents focused a lot on his schoolwork, on helping him learn Braille, but not on playing sports. I think young children with disabilities are not encouraged to play sports, he said. We need to change mentalities around youth sports for children with disabilities. And Catherine said blind soccer and other athletic activities have made a tangible difference in his life. A Center for Disease Control and Prevention study finds people with disabilities report mental distress at 4.6 times the rate of people without disabilities. Catherine had similar struggles, but said sports helped him to rebuild his pride, his identity, and his confidence. When I started running, I was so depressed. I struggled with my identity as a disabled adult. All the ideas and words that came in my mind associated with blindness were loneliness, lack of opportunity, Catherine said. In athletics, Catherine found community. And through sports, you meet people who are very well adjusted, who have gone through that journey, who can teach you so much more than just sports, right? They can teach you how to use your phone, how to connect with people, how to ask for help. And that's really the key, right? Asking for help is not easy. He said through soccer, he's found a platform to talk about his experience as a disabled person in a way that's engaging and friendly. Instead of being something intimidating, my disability becomes something interesting, he said. That is really an eye-opening article in so many ways, not just about the playing sports, but bringing out the aspect how sports can really change your attitude on your life, no matter what your ability or disability might be. I know for me, I started doing stuff much later on when after my disability, which is multiple sclerosis. I have trouble walking with balance, strength, but I've been doing so many things since discovering I have MS, and I've had MS for over 20 years. I am now skating, which I really don't do typically, but I tried it out because of All Out Adventures. I know I have said this many times. There's so many organizations to help us out here. I just went kayaking, and I'm going to continue to kayak throughout the summer. These are things I never thought I can do. So my confidence is built up so much. Oh, did I mention I'm 72 years old and I'm doing these things for the first time? So there you go, people. Get out there. All right. I did it. I used up all my time again. It goes so quickly. So I'm going to turn it over to the boys. Hey, guys, what do you got for us?
Thanks, Anna. Hi, everyone. This is Nick, and I'll be reading you a few stories here for this week's edition of AJ Sports. The first article I'd like to read is entitled, well, it's from newvision.co.ug, Blind Football Uganda Targets 2028 Paralympic Qualification. The tournament, due from November 1st to 10th, will give Uganda a chance to move closer to its Paralympic dream after the national team earned promotion to Division 1 last year. Blind Football Uganda chairman Jagwe Muzafuru says the country's biggest target is to qualify for the 2028 Los Angeles Paralympic Games through this year's IBSA Blind Football African Championship Division 1 in Egypt. The tournament, due from November 1st to 10th, will give Uganda a chance to move closer to its Paralympic dream after the national team earned promotion to Division 1 last year. Our long-term goal is to build a competitive national team capable of representing Uganda successfully at regional, continental, and international tournaments, with qualification for the Paralympic Games as our biggest ambition, Muzafuru said. Blind Football Uganda has grown steadily since the sport was officially introduced in 2021 after Muzafuru watched blind football at the Rio 2016 Paralympic Games on YouTube. I watched a blind football match at the Rio Paralympics and asked myself whether Ugandans could also play the sport. That single video inspired me to introduce blind football in Uganda, he said. The journey was not easy. Muzafuru said many organizations rejected his requests for support before the International Blind Football Foundation donated 10 balls and 20 eye shades that enabled the sport to start with students at Makakiri and Kiambogo universities. Today, Uganda has 13 men's teams, including a refugee team from Nakival Settlement and Iniguru District. 8 teams are currently active, with more than 100 registered players. Blind football teams have also spread beyond Kampala to Mukono, Bukiwi, Jinja, Kamuli, Kibale, Soroti, Lira, Gulu, and Nakival Refugee Settlement. The game has become more than a sporting activity, Muzafuru said. It is helping visually impaired people become more confident, independent, and socially active. Blind football improves fitness, balance, communication, teamwork, and leadership. It also gives visually impaired people confidence and shows society that disability is not inability, he said. Uganda's biggest achievement came last year after hosting the 2025 IBSA Blind Football African Championship Division II at Ham Stadium. The national team finished second to earn promotion to Division I. and secured Uganda's first ever world ranking of 37th. Blind Football Uganda also holds official membership of the International Blind Sports Association, IBSA, and has organized annual national championships since 2022. Schools have also played a key role in developing talent, with Hornby High School, St. Francis Madeira, St. Mary's Goretti Nageta, Namasgali College, Gulu High School, CEVIC School for the Blind, Spire Road School, and Salama School for the Blind all taking part. Despite the progress, Muzafaru admitted funding remains the biggest obstacle. "We still struggle to buy specialized equipment because most of it is manufactured in Europe. Shipping costs are high, so we sometimes improvise eye shades using local materials and rely on donated used balls," he said. He added that Blind Football Uganda also faces shortages of trained coaches, referees, guides, and regular competitions. The organization now hopes to expand to more districts by working with schools, disability organizations, and local sports associations while training more coaches and referees. Muzafaru said the long-term vision also includes establishing a national league, building a permanent training center, and securing sustainable funding through partnerships with government, the Uganda Paralympic Committee, FUFA, and corporate sponsors. Blind Football Uganda will host its fifth national championship at Makerere University Rugby Grounds on September 5th before the national team travels to Egypt for the continental qualifiers in November. The next article I'd like to read is called "Dad with Sight Loss is Turning Adversity into Action" by Jill Theobald, and this is from the Rotherham Advertiser. A Rotherham dad who has battled challenges throughout his life due to his sight loss says he is 100% motivated to break down barriers for others and help to boost their mental and physical and well-being. Mohammed Riaz Sabir, 55, is affected by retinitis, a condition he has had since birth but was actually diagnosed with in 2011. The dad of four grown-up children who is registered blind said, "I am Rotherham born and bred and have faced a number of challenges due to my health issues, but I wanted to turn that adversity into a positive. A lot of people enjoy running and do park runs and 10Ks and take that for granted. I just wanted to enjoy running again, to have a guide with me so I can enjoy all that fresh air, the social aspect, and the freedom of being able to run safely. I want to be the first person in Rotherham to set up guided running. It could just be for an hour or two a week, but if someone would be prepared to help me do that by volunteering their time so I can run with a guide, I would relish that opportunity. I am a man of action. I like to help myself and others to fulfill their dreams. I can't be the only person in Rotherham or even South Yorkshire with sight loss who would like to be actively involved in guided running. I have an abundance of motivation and drive and put 100% into everything I do. And so, with the help of my personal assistant, Wendy, I contacted Gary Shaughnessy, chairman of England Athletics, and was thrilled when he came to visit and run with me at Haringthorpe Stadium. Paul Mosley, England Athletics coach, education program manager, said, "We wanted to highlight the opportunities for visually impaired athletes and runners to find a guide to support them running and competing, and also to let them know of the Sight Loss Awareness and Guide Running Workshop that we have developed in partnership with British Blind Sport. Aimed at training up people to become licensed guide runners and enabling leaders, coaches, and volunteers to attract and support more blind and partially sighted people in athletics and running. It was great to be able to access the track at Rotherham, which is a safe, welcoming environment to run, jump, and throw. Being able to identify that visually impaired people still find it difficult to get access to physical activity is very important. But also important is being able to get the message out to not only those individuals with sight loss, but to many clubs and running groups that support is available. That support exists through England Athletics, British Blind Sport, and many other organizations. Our hope is that any individual who wishes to get involved in running and athletics at any level can do so and can enjoy the benefits of being physically active as well as all the social and psychological benefits of running and running with others can bring. The next article I'd like to read, let's see here, is from the Edinburgh News, and it's entitled Visually Impaired Football Captain Thanks Edinburgh's Royal Blind School After Scoring MBE by Michael Donaldson. Samantha Goh, an inspirational visually impaired athlete from Edinburgh, has been awarded an MBE in the 2026 King's Birthday Honours for services to sport and to visually impaired community. Sam's journey to becoming one of Britain's most accomplished visually impaired athletes, excelling across multiple disciplines including blind football, goal ball, and rowing, has not been an easy one, and it was only a few years ago she believed her sporting ambitions were over. Born with cerebral visual impairment, CVI, Sam's condition means that while her eyes are healthy, her brain cannot fully process visual information. Her sight deteriorated significantly in 2014, requiring her to relearn essential life skills, including mobility and independent navigation. She describes attending Sight Scotland's Royal Blind School in Edinburgh as a real turning point in her life. Sam, who will be 23 next week, explains, "This is a huge honor. I want to use it to highlight blind football and visually impaired sport and to show others what can be achieved if you follow your dreams. I have struggled with my mental health and sport truly saved me. So I am determined to show others what is possible. I would never have believed this was possible, and to be recognized in this way is incredible. There is still so much more we can do to support accessible and inclusive, and I hope this helps raise awareness and open doors for more visually impaired athletes. It wasn't very long ago that I didn't think I could take part in sport at all. I went from being registered partially sighted to severely sight impaired and was basically excluded from all sport. Instead of asking how they could support me, I was seen as a problem. If you had told me that what I'd be doing now, I would never have believed you. It shows what can be achieved if you are given the right support. The Royal Blind School was a real turning point for me. I was given tailored support and the opportunity to learn vital independent living skills, which really helped rebuild my confidence. It also helped me accept and my disability, which was such an important part of my journey. Before I came to school, I did not fully understand my visual impairment or how to explain it. Learning Braille was another huge moment for me. I had lost the ability to read and write as my sight deteriorated, and Braille helped me reconnect with that. It felt like I had found a part of myself again. The school also helped me develop everyday skills like cooking, going to the slopes, and speaking up about the support I need. They also showed me how to use my white cane, which was a complete game changer. I then got my wonderful guide dog, Helga, last year, which again transformed my life and gave me even more confidence to get out and about. All the amazing things that have happened to me through sport and my advocacy would not have been possible without the incredible teachers at Royal Blind School. They believed in me when I struggled to believe in myself and gave me the skills and confidence to move forward. It quite literally changed my life. In 2022, Sam made history as the first ever captain of the England women's blind football team, a landmark achievement that established her as a pioneer of the women's games. She went on to lead the national side at the inaugural IBSA Women's World Championship in 2023, guiding England in their first experience on the global stage and helping to mark a defining moment for the sport. Her success extends beyond football. In goalball, she became one of the UK's top female goal scorers and represented Great Britain at the 2022 European Para Youth Games, where she secured a bronze medal. In rowing, she claimed gold at the 2023 British Rowing Indoor Championships and was selected for the Great Britain Para Rowing Performance Pathway. Beyond her sporting success, Sam has also been recognized for her advocacy work. In 2023, she won a Midlothian Young People's Award and was also commended in the UK Parliament for her achievements. She is also an ambassador for Sight Scotland, using her platform to promote inclusion and inspire others with disabilities to take part in sport. Sam adds, "One of my life goals is to raise awareness of visual impairment and encourage people to embrace and accept it. I want to use my platform, whether through sport, social media, visiting schools that to talk about my disability, or working with organizations like Sight Scotland to show what is possible and help influence positive change. The support I received changed my life, and I would encourage anyone to reach out. There are people who understand and want to help, and it really can make such a difference." There's one more little short article that I'd like to read. And it's TWU Sports Camp Helps Blind, Deaf Youth Build Skills and Confidence by Alana Quillen. Young athletes from across North Texas spent the week learning new sports, building confidence, and developing athletic skills at a specialized camp hosted by Texas Women's University. The week-long camp welcomed 25 participants ages 9 to 18 who are blind, visually impaired, or deafblind. Campers took part in swimming, gymnastics, tandem biking, and goalball, a soccer-like team Sport Decide specifically for athletes with visual impairments. Each athlete was paired with a coach, many of whom are Texas Women's Adapted Physical Education graduate students or alumni. Coaches worked one-on-one with campers to provide modifications and encouragement, allowing participants to safely and successfully engage in sports. The camp, held on the TWU campus in Denton, wrapped up July 18. Organizers said the camp's mission is to help young people discover their abilities, improve their athleticism, and gain confidence both on and off the playing field. That'll be it for me for this week's edition of AJ Sports. I'll hand it off to Chris to finish it off. Take it away, Chris.
Good day, listeners. Chris here, coming to you with a few more stories, so I think we're just going to jump right in. First up, original beep baseball for the blind athlete champions, the human factor. Houston's blind athletes continue to impress our community with expanding participation in numerous sporting events. longtime Oak Forest resident and native Houstonian Ronnie Bruins reflects on his time as one of the original members of the Bayou City Bombers, a beat baseball team that competes nationally with other blind athletes. The team first began playing in 1976, and Bruins joined the team 2 years later in 1978. The team has since changed its name to the Bayou City Heat and is still going strong today, competing on a national level with other teams as far away as Taiwan. A little history for you about the game. Beep baseball is a form of baseball that is a competitive sport for the blind and visually impaired that utilizes a ball that beeps. The game was originally created as a non-competitive activity for blind children. In 1973, a Pacific Bell employee named Ralph Rock adapted the rules of baseball to avoid collisions, making the game a safe, competitive sport. When the new Ralph Rock rules became officially established, the first game of competitive beep baseball was played in San Francisco Golden Gate Park. In 1976, as interest spread amongst the adult blind community nationwide, the National Beep Baseball Association, the NBBA, was formed. Today, the NBBA organizes local, state, and regional tournaments annually, culminating in a World Series game every August. Every year, a different hosting city is chosen, and Houston hosted its first World Series game back in 2005. As an original member of the Houston team that started back in 1978, Bruns is no longer a player, but is still involved, serving on a committee working to gather information about former players and teams for the Beep Baseball Hall of Fame. Remembering that year in 1978, Bruns said, "We won our first game, but lost the next two. It was an 8-team double elimination tournament, so we did not place, but we were the first new team to win its first game in the World Series." So, how exactly is the game played? Different from baseball, there are six players in the outfield, not including the pitcher and the catcher. The pitcher and catcher are on the same team that is in the batting position, pitching to their own teammates. Both pitcher and catcher are the only two players on the team that are sighted. The team playing the outfield can elect to have one or two sighted spotters. The sighted spotters position the outfielders for play and will call out a number that corresponds to a zone, indicating the area where the batter hits the ball. On scoring runs, in beep baseball, there are only two bases instead of the traditional diamond-shaped three-base configuration like baseball. Each base is 100 feet from the batting position, 10 feet more than in standard baseball. As the baseball beeps so the players can hear the ball, the bases have a buzzing sound so the batter can locate the base when they hit the ball. When a batter hits the ball, a person serving as the base operator will activate the buzzing sound of one of the two bases. The batter does not know which base will be activated until they hit the ball. If the batter connects with the base before a fielder has a chance to touch the ball in the outfield, the batter scores a run. If the fielder picks up the ball before the batter touches a base, then the batter is out. Because blind and visually impaired persons have a range of vision, from legally blind to totally blind, all sight-impaired players are required to wear blindfolds to ensure equity among all players. With only 6 innings per game, most games last around 2 hours. The ball itself, a 16-inch diameter softball, has gone through many improvements over the years. It was first developed by engineers who worked for the old Bell phone companies, utilizing old phone components to make the beeper. The creators cut a hole into the interior material made out of kapok. Kapok? K-A-P-O-C. A cotton-like fiber making the ball soft. The beeper was installed and the ball showed back up. Houstonian Alfonso Medrano, who also serves as pitcher for the Bayou City Heat, manufactures these balls in his garage. Medrano has been with the Houston team for many years, an electronic junkie. Medrano first became interested in making his own balls when he started pitching to his blind cousin back in 1993. Today, he is an official ball manufacturer for the NBBA and supplies the league with about 500 balls per year. Houston's two teams. In 2002, the Bayou City Heat won the World Series, competing with teams from all over the world. Houston's team has always had a successful run, finishing mostly in second or third place throughout the years, competing against some of the best of the 27 teams that make up the NBBA. Houston now has two teams with the addition of the Houston Hurricanes. There are no geographic restrictions limiting where a player can play, so it is not uncommon for teams in other cities to recruit a player from another city or even another state. Spring training starts at the end of March, and tournaments run late April to early June. The team practices at the field that was constructed at the West Gray Community Center, the hub for disability athletes of all kinds. Many of the people associated with Beef Baseball have been with the sport for many years. Some current coaches started out as sighted players in their youth and loved the camaraderie of the athletes and supporting friends and families that they felt it hard not to be involved. Bruns reflected on the human factor of the sport, saying when he first started, his dad was a pitcher for the team while his mom served the team in a supporting role as a spotter in the outfield. The athletes have a tremendous support system from family and friends with varying levels of involvement. There have even been Beef Baseball weddings for athletes who met each other while playing the sport. Bruns said, "At one point in the early days, we actually had three couples who had met playing on our team and got married." Bruns goes on to speak with admiration about how there are second and third generations of family members who continue to be involved with the sport today. A love for family, community, and the game itself, he said, keeps Beef Baseball knocking it out of the park. Now, seeing that we're wrapped up in the midst of winter, let's tackle a snow sport. Losing my sight made me a better snowboarder. Retired Army Staff Sergeant Michael Murphy is blind, yet he says he has never seen the possibilities available to him more clearly in his life. This attitude is all he knows as he is preparing to compete on Team USA at the first ever Invictus Winter Games in Vancouver in February. "I'm blessed because this is my second time at Invictus. I was able to participate in 2002 at The Hague for the Summer Games, and now I've been selected to participate on Team USA again for the Winter Games, which is pretty exciting." Murphy lost his sight in 2018 after an accident on the airfield while in deployment in Greece, where he also suffered a traumatic brain injury. Adaptive Sports gave this unmanned aircraft systems operator a new lease on life. I wouldn't have been able and been where I am today without ARCP, or Team Army, especially Mark Catapan, the adaptive sports specialist from the Fort Carson SRU, because he introduced me to all of this. "It truly saved my life," and Murphy said. He got his taste of adaptive competitions in 2022 Warrior and Invictus Games. Besides rowing and swimming, Murphy will take on two winter sports in Invictus. "My primary sport is snowboarding. Since losing my sight, I've been blessed with adaptive sports at multiple levels. Living in Colorado a few years ago, I could participate quite a bit, and I think I've gotten pretty good at it, so I'm excited to get to showcase that," said Murphy, who will also compete in skeleton. Murphy moved home to Albuquerque last year to reconnect with family, and as he says, sort some things out. And then something amazing happened. "God put the woman I've been looking for my whole life before me. Her name is Ashley, and I am blessed. She gets to experience the adaptive sports world with me. She's my fiance now, so she will be with me when I compete at Invictus." Besides his new bride-to-be being with him, he says another highlight for him at these games is the fact that there is currently no blind snowboarding in the Paralympics, and he is excited to share his experience at this international level. "I want to show people what is possible. It means the world to me to be doing this. I love trying to set the bar high for myself. And to be part of a memorable moments like the first ever Winter Invictus Games is huge. I want to show what blind snowboarders can do." Murphy explained he snowboarded a little before losing his sight and spent a lot of time on his rear end in the snow. He says that's all changed. "Losing my sight made me a better snowboarder because the fear of heights and what's gone out there is all gone. It lets me trust my guides and let me do what they do instead of me seeing and worrying if there's a tree and if I will hit it. It changed things in a whole different level," said Murphy. Trust is everything in adaptive sports for blind athletes. And this Team USA athlete says he learned that at the Soldier Recovery Unit at Fort Carson. I think it's a very special kind of sport, especially for the blind, because everything I do requires a guide, which means I have to trust. Your guide has to be better than you are and be able to take care of themselves, but guide the blind athlete along in the process. Having his guide for snowboarding allows him to feel independent. Snowboarding is one of those sports I thoroughly enjoy because I am still independent. I have my snowboard. I'm on my own. But I still need my guide to give me audio cues to left turn, right turn, and here's what's coming up. Along with his guide, he will have his guide dog Maverick, who has become a rock star of the four-paw kind at recent games. However, Maverick has to wait at the bottom of the hill for Murphy while he competes. Maverick will be with me when I compete at Invictus. He gets pretty excited. One of my favorite moments is always hearing him barking or crying when I finish an event. He attacks me with all his puppy love. There will be a nice roll in the snow for sure when I'm finished competing in Vancouver, he says with a confident laugh. Now we're going to delve into a little bit of technology for helping to see sports for the blind. Touch to See, making sports accessible to blind people. The Touch to See system represents a revolutionary technological innovation developed by the anonymous French startup, which allows blind or partially sighted people to follow football matches, football being soccer, at least for us, as well as other sports in an immersive and autonomous way, both in the stadium and in different contexts. Thanks to tactile feedback and audio descriptions, the device allows users to perceive every action on the field in real time, making the sport experience accessible to everyone. This solution is rapidly gaining international attention, with numerous sports clubs recognizing its inclusive potential. In Italy, for example, the Cagliari Calcio Club has recently adopted this technology, confirming its commitment to breaking down barriers and promoting inclusivity in the world of sport. Touch to See is not just a device, but a symbol of changing towards a more equal and accessible society for all. Introduction. Touch to See is an innovative startup that has created a new device that is making a significant step towards greater accessibility and inclusion in sporting events. The Touch to See system uses a tablet that reproduces a miniature playing field. A small magnetic disc moves in real time on the virtual field, allowing users to follow actions with their fingers. The variations in the intensity of the vibrations indicate the importance of the game's actions, offering a tactile experience that transports users to the heart of the match. This technology has already been successfully tested in France in sports such as football, basketball, and rugby, demonstrating its versatility and its enormous potential to make sporting events more inclusive. Touch to See uses a combination of haptic feedback and audio descriptions, allowing blind fans to follow the game in real time, perceiving every action, emotion, and dynamic on the field. The adoption of this innovation by numerous sports clubs marks an important step forward in breaking down sensory barriers and promoting accessible sports for all. Thanks to this innovative technology, sport has become a universal language, capable of engaging every fan, regardless of their visual ability. Touch to See is not only a technological revolution, but also an essential contribution to building a truly inclusive and united sports community. A little bit more background on the device. The device provides an immersive and tactile experience, allowing users to follow sports matches, immersing themselves in the heart of the matches thanks to touch and audio description. The latter consists of a descriptive match commentary service reserved for fans with visual impairments who follow the match at the stadium. The service offers a dedicated commentator who narrates the match in real time with an extraordinary level of detail, describing not only the actions on the pitch, but also the atmosphere in the stadium, such as cheering, chants, and reactions of the crowd. This approach allows blind fans to live an immersive and complete experience as if they were in the front row. The system also includes a small magnetic device that reproduces the position of the ball in real time, offering a unique tactile interaction while vibrations of different intensity communicate the most exciting and important movements. This combination of tactile and auditory technologies ensures an unprecedented multisensory experience, transforming how people with visual impairments can experience sport. The result is an inclusive service, capable of breaking down barriers and offering everyone the opportunity to participate in the collective passion of sport. The operation of the device is extremely intuitive. Just place your fingers on the cursor to follow the movement of the ball and the players, while an automated narrative audio description provides a detailed account of the match in real time. This system guarantees a fully immersive experience with technology designed to operate with maximum safety and reliability. The accuracy of the information and the absence of errors allow users to follow every phase of the game without any difficulty. Currently, the system is compatible with sports such as football, rugby, and basketball, offering inclusive access to millions of fans with visual impairments. However, the potential of this technology is destined to grow. Studies are already underway to extend its use in other sports, such as tennis, handball, ice hockey, and American football. This evolution will open up new opportunities to make sport even more accessible, transforming it into a truly universal experience. Thanks to this innovation, the device not only expands the possibilities for users, but lays the foundation for a revolution in the way of experiencing and perceiving sport in all its forms. Audio commentary is a universally popular channel for fans, but currently audio description of matches, although useful, is not available in all stadiums. Only about 3% of them offer this service. Thanks to a network of volunteers, severely limiting access for visually impaired or blind fans, sports radio broadcasters, accessible to all, often have problems with interruptions and latencies of a few seconds, causing small time delays between the actual action and its oral description. Furthermore, radio is unable to convey all the details and intensity of the match and is limited to a verbal narration that can be devoid of visual details. The touch-to-see tablet is unique and works thanks to the ultra-fast analysis of sports data in real time, exploiting artificial intelligence and the power of 5G technology for a completely digital service. The integration of AI allows for precise and immediate interpretation of the game action, while 5G guarantees fast and reliable data transmission. With these cutting-edge technologies, the tablet offers an unprecedented tactile and auditory experience, with the users following the movements of the ball with a magnetic cursor and perceiving the intensity of the game. Adding further warmth and involvement to the game is the crowd's cheering, which animates every moment with the overwhelming energy. In conclusion, Touch-to-See represents much more than a technological innovation. It's a powerful tool for inclusion that breaks down barriers and brings people together, allowing everyone to experience the emotion of sport. With the support of institutions and the ability to transform the lives of fans with visual impairments, this technology reminds us that accessibility is not just a goal, but a fundamental right. Touch-to-See not only changes how sport is experienced, but reinforces the message that it truly belongs to everyone. You've been listening to Audio Journal Sports Page, our effort to look at sports from a different point of view. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. This is Chris, along with Anna and Nick. If you have any information on any disabled sports and you would like us to share it with our listeners, give us a call at 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org. Thank you for listening.
What's going on in your town is important to you. Meetings that decide your taxes, changes in laws in your community, plans for new housing and businesses, and news about schools are all vital for you to know. Here on Audio Journal, we read many local community newspapers each week. In addition to the news of your community and area, you'll also hear about special events, stories about your neighbors, their businesses, their activities, and more. Stay in touch with your community on Audio Journal, broadcasting to print-impaired residents of Central Massachusetts.